It's the Garnet Trust Hour.
Spencer Rattler, Gamecocks quarterback, joining us in studios.
On your home of the Gamecocks.
Welcome in, man. I know you said it's been a little while since you've done some live radio, but we're happy to have you. Everything doing well, though?
107.5.
Yeah, everything's been great. You know, off-season's going well with workouts and throwing sessions and stuff like that. So getting into the routine and just going at it every day.
The game.
All right, welcome in. Garnet Trust Hour. Chris Clark, Wes Mitchell alongside me, and our special guest today is Ethan Petrie from Gamecock Baseball. Thanks for being with us here on the Garnet Trust Hour on 107.5 The Game. Ethan, thanks for coming in this morning, man.
Thank you. Great opportunity for me.
Yeah, outstanding. You're here on behalf, of course, of the Garnet Trust. Go check those guys out, garnettrust.com, and learn more about how you can connect with and support USC student athletes. So a lot to get into here with Ethan on this Tuesday. First of all, Ethan, first year at Carolina, tell us just how the experience has been so far for you in transitioning from the high school level to not only college, but the SEC, big-time baseball. Now, y'all haven't gotten into conference play yet, but tell us how that transition's been for you.
It's been great. I mean, I love every bit of it. I just can't get enough of just playing baseball every day. You know, like, your body's tired, but you still have the drive to play every day. And, I mean, going from the high school level to the SEC level is a different caliber. I mean, I struggled in the fall and I struggled in the preseason, but I mean, something just clicked and I haven't looked back since. And I mean, all this preparation for this season has gotten me to where I am, and it's been amazing.
I had this question for later, but you kind of led us right into it, man. So I read an article about how you had made some, I don't know, maybe kind of small tweak when everything just kind of clicked for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it was that and whose idea it was that kind of just got you going into the season, and you've carried that into the games as well?
Yeah, Coach Lee and Coach Kingston actually talked about how uphill my swing was and a lot of swing and misses, a lot of strikeouts. I mean, I had 12 strikeouts and 19 at-bats in the preseason, and he ended up working on T-drills of going downhill to the ball. And naturally in the game, I still went uphill. But thinking of going downhill made my swing go more uphill during the game. And it actually like evened it out. So I found that happy medium and it was nice.
So what are you thinking when you're kind of, I mean, 12 strikeouts and 19 ABs, that's probably never happened in your entire life at any point. Were you, I know baseball is such a mental game. Where was your head at when you were in kind of that space? And then I know in sports, like whenever you kind of have a breakthrough, you're just kind of like, okay, like we're good now. We're good now. Where was kind of the ups and downs of that going into this season?
I mean, yeah, it was just tough. I mean, I was just striking out every at bat. I was just trying to contribute any way I could. I mean, I got back at third and just kind of just played third as best as I could. You know, I couldn't let it affect me because, you know, I wanted to be there for the team. You know, I knew I wasn't getting the opening day start. I mean, it didn't really affect me. You know, I was excited to see my friends play and excited to watch baseball, you know. And, I mean, 12 strikeouts, never happened. A hat trick never happened in my career. But, you know, it ain't going to be my last one. And it actually happened during the season against Penn this year. And, you know, I just kind of just move on from it. You kind of mature, you kind of grow, you know, like as a young kid like me, you know, like for all the guys out there like me, you know, just kind of just stay the course, you know, like it's just going to happen, you know. Like baseball is a really tough sport. You chose to pick one of the hardest sports and you just got to stay the course.
I want to go back to what you said earlier about uphill and downhill swings. So what do you mean by that? Just kind of go into a little more detail. Like, are you trying to basically do too much with the ball?
Yeah. Basically what it is like you're trying to lift the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you can't lift the ball. It's coming in.
Trying to hit it out.
Yeah. You can't lift the ball. It's coming in 92 plus, you know, like right. It's not going to happen. I mean, in high school I could do that because the guys are kind of throwing slow so I can get behind it.
Yeah.
But with going downhill, I got to backspin it, you know, like, cause I had a trouble with that during batting practice this year where I would just hook balls, you know, and Monty says hooking balls is like equivalent to a swing and miss in a game. So so we worked on that, and we worked on just staying through the middle, you know, like hard line drives, and all of a sudden just boom, all of a sudden I just started hitting balls out.
And you feel that like it was that quick, or that much of a light.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask Coach Kingston, I mean, it was just like maybe a week before the season, like when scrimmage is all wrapped up, mm-hmm. you know, like I knew like I had to support my team on all that stuff, and it was just, my BP was just so much different. Like mm-hmm. the ball was just popping off my bat, you know, and I was like, okay, this might work, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got my first at bat, and I smacked one up the middle, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is working.
I'm curious these days how much technology is involved in baseball. And I know y'all have the system there where it shows the exit velocity, it shows the projected distance right off the bat. How much has any of that played in? Like, when you're doing stuff like that, is there any, like, tracking of your bat path and stuff like that? Or is it more just by Monty Lee, like, maybe eyeballing it and stuff like that?
Coach Lee actually, like, has, like, this, we play this game called Barrels Are Hot, and we have a certain exit velocity you have to get for a point and certain exit angle. So, like, mm-hmm. exit angle is, like, where it comes out. And he wants, obviously, 10 to 15 mm-hmm. is, like, the ideal one, which is a hard, low-line drive, you know, because in games, like, where the wind's blowing in, you're not going to be able to hit a ball out like that, you know, with mm-hmm. like, but if we, that helped with like just staying downhill and just backspinning balls really hard.
I know launch angle is like mm-hmm. especially the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, it's become like that buzzword. Everybody has their different opinions on that, and I think a lot of times people hear launch angle and they think like, you know, launch it like you're trying to hit a home run
yep.
at all times. But as far as y'all's philosophy at Carolina and what you try to do, it sounds like you're trying to hit in that line drive window yep. of launch angle, basically, but then the home runs are going to come from doing it the right way. Is that?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I mean, like, home runs are mistakes at the end of the day. I mean, if you just stay on that low line drive approach, right center gap,
mm-hmm.
what Monty teaches us, and it's just, that's when everything clicks and you start hitting the ball hard and out.
So in high school, well, and you're still listed, actually, as a, I think you're listed, what, infielder slash pitcher?
Yep.
All right, so how much of a difference, in your opinion, is your skill set between a hitter and an infielder and a pitcher? Like, was it pretty close? Like, could it
have been? Honestly, I just started pitching my senior year.
Yeah.
So, like, everything, like, was new to me, you know? Like, I always trained as a pitcher because my brother was a pitcher. So I used to work out with him, and we used to lift as a pitcher, you know. I didn't lift as a hitter. I was very flexible. I was very lean, you know, and I just got on the mound one day and I was just throwing hard, and then I just kind of started pitching. I mean, I don't know if the level was the same as a hitter, because I've always been a hitter, but it was pretty close, I think.
What's in the pitching repertoire? You said you threw hard, so you have fastball.
Yeah, fastball, curveball, slider, and a changeup.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had a four pitch mix. Yeah, four pitch
that's
mix.
That's pretty good for someone who's just getting up there. I'll just go goof off.
Yeah. I had my summer coach was a big league pitcher, Jim Osting, and he helped me out a lot with pitching, you know, like over the years, because I always pitched like one or two innings, but I never like fully bought into it.
Right.
And then all like senior year, I started buying into it and kind of opened some eyes for people.
What were you throwing? How hard?
I hit like 96 one time, like one or two times, but I was like more in the 92, 94 range.
Yeah. So playing some outfield, what is that? Did you play all over growing up? Or
yeah, I kind of played all over, but more in the infield.
Uh-huh.
You know, and played a couple innings in right field, a couple innings in center one time. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a big adjustment. You know, it's a humbling adjustment for sure. You know, because the sun is bad, and yeah. and you know, it's different than a fly ball at third base or like first base. But I mean, I've been working really hard at it, and I'm trying to keep going at it.
Can you, maybe for the people listening, can you like put them in your shoes out there here? Because I feel like when you make that jump to college ball, man, I mean, these fly balls, these pop ups, far higher than most any fly ball yep. you see in high school. The line drives, the way, especially if you get hit one that's like hit right at you.
Those are the worst. I've gotten a couple of those, and I've had to jump up and grab them because I took a wrong read.
Yeah, and you're having to, I mean, I'm sure the lighting is an adjustment as well. Mm-hmm. How, in some ways, you're kind of learning on the fly. I know you're putting a lot of work into it off the field, like out of games, but sometimes I feel like you're going to see different angles and different hooks from a ball. And I think over time you're going to say, oh, I've seen that spin before. But what has that been like kind of learning on the fly a little bit out there?
It's been great. I mean, I love playing right field at our stadium because, like, you know, you hear the fans tell you where the ball is, you know, like, you know where it's going to be. But, like, the other day we were playing Clemson at Fluor Field, and they're kind of like a replica of the Fenway Park Stadium. Yeah. And I didn't realize how far the line was from me, and I ended up getting I made an error on a ball that was a tough ball, but you know, I got to realize that. And but it's just humbling, you know, like the ball sliced are for righties, and then the topspin liners from lefties are tough. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've had to go like dive for some balls, you know, like it's pretty cool, but learning on the fly is pretty tough.
So you've gotten kind of used to the Founders Park, right, Phil? Because I feel like that, at least you kind of have a straight line there. If you're playing left field in Founders, it has that, like, jut out almost. Yep. You don't have to deal with that, at least.
Yeah, I've gotten used to Founders, but, you know, I'm trying to get used to other parks, you know, like, like during, like, I.O., I kind of just, like, see the dimensions of the field and kind of feel for the field.
Going to take a break real quick, come back on the other side, talk more with Gamecock Baseball's Ethan Petrie. You listen to the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game.
Broadcasting live from the Herndon Chevrolet Studios, this is 107.5 The Game.
A great selection of new Chevys is available now at Herndon Chevrolet. The lot is packed with inventory and more is on the way. So shop your hometown Chevy dealer today.
Stop by or shop online today and see why Herndon Chevrolet makes you smile. It's the Garnet Trust Hour on your home of the Gamecocks. 107.5 The Game.
All right, back in the Garnet Trust Hour, 107.5 The Game. Chris Clark joined by Wes Mitchell, and our special guest in studio today is South Carolina Baseball's Ethan Petrie. Roll through one segment with him already, talking about the progression of his game. Some cool insight, some inside baseball, really, pun intended, on how he's kind of adjusted his swing and adjusted to the college game, obviously having a really good year for South Carolina. Let's change directions. A lot more baseball to talk. Let's go off the field, off the diamond real quick, and get to know you a little bit more off the field. So first of all, Wes and I, we always talk food with everybody. All right, so give us just in general, it doesn't have to be places, but what do you like to eat, and or do you cook? Do you dabble in cooking any?
Sometimes, usually my roommate cooks for me.
Oh, you know, that's nice.
Like, yeah, I'll buy like the food, and he'll cook like a really good steak.
That is outstanding.
Who's the roommate? Let's go.
Austin Williamson.
Okay.
He's a great kid.
Yeah, great kid. That's outstanding.
So is steak the favorite or whatever?
Steak's favorite, but chicken wings is my favorite, but obviously we can't make chicken wings. But.
Yeah. Well, you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's too much work.
Yeah, too much work. You're not trying to cut the wings. And
yeah,
then,
the cutting is awful. Like, you get like the arthritis in your hand trying to cut the wings.
Yeah, my mom does that. But.
Yeah, how big is nutrition in baseball? Are we at the point where that's like a big focus or not really?
Yeah, it's a pretty big focus. I mean, like my roommate, he's huge on nutrition. He eats really healthy. You know, I try to follow that, but you know, it's pretty tough because you're always now, like, especially now because you're on the road, but you got to make sure you eat.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of weight during the season and you got to stay hydrated. Like our nutritionist has like a little like gauged as like shows if you're hydrated or not. So like, you know, like you're always held accountable for that and you always want to pee green instead of yellow or red. But you know, nutrition is huge in baseball and you always want to stay healthy and you know, you never want to be tired playing a game. So you got to make sure you get your calories and all that.
You were pointing out here in our studio, one of our little mixing board sliders has a little Darth Vader 3D printed. Are you a Star Wars guy?
Yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd.
I kind of gathered that.
Yeah.
All right, give us some Star Wars takes. I'm going to be, like, out of this convo because I don't – you have to go talk to Jay Phillips on the halftime show, big Star Wars guy. Wes, do you know anything about Star Wars?
Well, I'll say this. I have watched The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I just watched the new episode. It came out yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm not, like, an old-school Star Wars fan, never really got into it. But I feel like some of the new stuff, like that new – The Mandalorian, I thought was really, really good. And then the other one, I can't remember which one.
The Book of Boba Fett.
I haven't seen that one. What's the other one? There's another one on Disney Plus. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But are you into all of them? Are you into the movies? You're into
every single one of them. Yeah.
So like, all in on the nerd. Star Wars, even like the
animated ones. Like I love them, and everyone's like, I can't watch the animated ones. I'm like, it's all part of it. I mean, you can see how like Anakin Skywalker falls to the dark side in like 7 seasons. It's awesome.
Give us, so what's your ranking? I don't know. There's so many different kinds. Like you said, there's new stuff, the old stuff, the animated stuff. But like, what's your favorite?
How about that?
What's your favorite?
I'll go with Revenge of the Sith, the movie.
Okay.
For sure. And then I would say Return of the Jedi, which is 2. And then I would say like The Mandalorian or The Book of Boba Fett would be like 3. Like that's a great show. You know, a lot of characters in it. And then obviously Empire Strikes Back. New Hope's last, you know, like the New Hope. But it sets up everything, but it's just kind of like boring, you know, kind of fall to sleep to it every time. But I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many shows that I've watched.
Yeah.
But then the Clone Wars, and then the Attack of the Clones, and then Phantom Menace, then.
That was a comprehensive, list there. That could be on like Rotten Tomatoes or something.
I've seen so many of them. I mean, I've watched them so many times. I grew up with it. Even Marvel too. I'm a huge Marvel fan.
Oh,
okay. See, yeah, I like the. What's favorite? You don't have to give the full list. What's your favorite Marvel movie?
I would say. There's so many good ones too. Oh my gosh. Endgame.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Endgame or like one of the Thors.
Okay.
Wow, yeah. I really like Thor.
Yeah.
How about you? What's your favorite?
I don't know, man. I mean, Endgame, and I liked Infinity War as well. Like,
I hated the. I don't like that one.
Really?
It's kind of like the return of Revenge of the Sith, but like on steroids, where it's like everyone dies. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, half of everybody died.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, I'm with you, man. So on the you haven't really had that SEC road trip experience yet, but do you have the iPad when you're going on long trips? Like, are you watching stuff like this, or what's the entertainment as you're getting on a trip, or what's it gonna be? I guess when you get to take some of these long trips.
Yeah, I kind of just play some games. You know, I play like Fruit Ninja, and then I'll just like. And I just watched The Mandalorian yesterday, the whole trip. So
yeah.
I use my phone. I don't use an iPad because I don't have an iPad. But
yeah,
you know, I just watch tons of shows, you know, and just I need to get a pair of headphones. But
oh, so you're the guy that has there's just blaring. Like blaring. Like
I don't have it blaring because I have the subtitles, so I have it like real low. But you know, I don't really like using headphones. But you know, I kind of like watching it out loud instead of watching it on the headphones.
Do you have a game day? Like routine when you get to the stadium, home, away, whatever, wherever it may be. Like, do you have a bunch of stuff that you're doing?
Not really. I mean, yeah. I kind of go out there and just, you know, not think about it too much. You know, that's what I used to do. And I used to hit like for 30 minutes before the game. And all of a sudden, like, I'm striking out 3 times. Like, what's the point of that? You know, I just ruined my body. And then I kind of took advice from Cole Messina where he was just like, take his least amount of swings as you can, just hit with a team. And ever since that's when everything started going uphill.
So no superstitions, weird baseball. You know, baseball people are supposed to be weird. You got nothing.
I mean, I guess I wear a cup every game.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, I was hoping you had something. Do you jump the line or do you touch the line?
I jump over the line.
Okay, have you ever touched it? You never touched the line.
Never.
Okay, ever.
Like, even when we're doing the national anthem, I wouldn't step on the line.
Yeah, I feel like that's the oldest baseball rule in existence. Yep. You never touch the line. Hey, all right, I got a question. What in this on? You know, you know you're getting older and older when you just don't know what stuff means or what trend. You don't know what trends are. What is the double when y'all hit a double? What is this move?
Cole Messina made it up, and we just kind of follow along with it. And he's like, it's just everyone thinks it's so funny. Like last night, I hit that double, and the second baseman for Upstate was like, "That's a pretty good dance moves." And I was just like, started laughing. Like, it's pretty awesome.
So it's just something to keep it light,
Yeah, like nothing like crazy like Clemson does with like their. I don't even know what they do.
Yeah, they were doing some. They took it to the next level.
Yeah, I was like some of those. Hardcore. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was extreme. And then they got mad. So you probably saw the clip of the homer that Messina hit out. That
they were not happy. Yeah,
it just landed yesterday.
Yeah,
and one of you could see in Clemson's dugout from the one camera angle on social media, and one of the players is yelling at him to run.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He was like, run. That was. Was not good.
Is that one of the best bat flips you've seen? Like,
oh, 100%.
Because he turned straight to the dugout and is like, I'm not going to use words I can't use on air, but it's just like,
yeah,
that was a moment.
Yeah, right? Him and Gavin Cassis have a professional bat flippers.
Yes, sure. Epic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cassis is number one on my list, though. Like, he's just like, he knows it. Like, it's awesome. He hits the ball so hard.
What about your bat flip game?
It's not that good. You know, I kind of just keep it classy and just kind of start walking. I did flip one against Penn.
Yeah.
It was just a heated moment because it was just like umpire was calling balls and then the pitcher told me to get back in the box. And then I, you know, kind of just.
You flip it at him a little bit or are you just.
No. That's Caleb Denny does that.
Kind of lay it down towards the pitcher a little bit. Well, if you're going to flip it, it's got to go out, right?
Yeah. Like, you cannot. Then Kingston's yelling at you, and you're probably on the bench.
Yeah.
We're not running.
Yo, the bat flip where it doesn't go out, just a fly out.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I've seen, I feel like Josh Donaldson does that. Like, guys do that in the league, and then it's such a bad look, though.
Yeah, you can probably look up top 100 bat flips that don't go out on
that's
YouTube.
Probably a video.
Yeah. I think, what do you think of baseball and kind of, I feel like there's this kind of break between super old school purists and they're just like, you know, it's got to be by the book.
Yep.
Yeah, these unwritten rules, basically. And then there's kind of the new school, like, all right, it's supposed to be fun as well. How do y'all kind of walk that line? You know, you said you like to keep it classy, but at the same time, I think energy and kind of team camaraderie is important as well.
Yeah, we all have like our different styles of play. And I play kind of the old school because that's how I grew up. You know, I grew up being taught the old school way, you know, do everything right, like hit a pop fly center and you make sure you touch second base, you know, like no matter what it is, you always play hard and hustle. And a lot of guys like that on our team, you know, like a lot of guys just work hard, you know, like hard nosed baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
When you're mentioning earlier about how the Upstate game recently, the second baseman said something about the celebration, like what's kind of the deal with getting to first, or even when you play infield, like, do you talk to people if you're playing infield? Do you say stuff?
I kind of read the room, you know, I read the room.
What do we got here?
Yeah. And I make sure like he's having a good day, you know, like I'm like, you know, you're having a good day today, you know, like you're like two for three, you know, having a good day. You just walked. It's pretty nice. And you just like start a conversation, you know.
You ever had anybody be, you know, just mean to you when you tried to talk?
No,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. Everyone's pretty nice. You know, like I said, I read the room, so I make sure I don't talk to anybody I think, you know, is not nice.
I feel like I would have loved to, you know, in my alternate reality where I could actually be a baseball player and make MLB, like my goal would be just getting to first and talk to Freddie Freeman.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie's a talker, too.
Yeah,
like he's having, just to see what he says.
He's having, like, a full dinner conversation, I feel like, with
making
with
reservations.
Yeah. I'll go like, ahead. You know, how are the kids? do you watch a lot of MLB or not really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm a Rays fan because I grew up in Tampa. I'm Rays, Lightning, Bucks fan.
Yeah. So all of the above?
Oh, yeah, all of the above.
What'd you think of Tom Brady retiring for good, maybe?
No? I mean, I wish he would come back, but, you know, it was a little overdue.
Yeah.
You know, and he, great guy, you know, did a lot for the team, you know, and hopefully the next quarterback kind of picked his brains.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
hopefully take us to the playoffs again, but, you know, it's kind of rebuilding now. It's just kind of
talking about MLB players. Who do you have anybody that you model your game after that you or just really like watching?
I really like watching Pete Alonso and Austin Riley. You know, like they big, strong frame power hitters. You know, like they can, and they're pretty athletic for their size. So.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. Back on the other side with Ethan Petrie from Gamecock Baseball. You're listening to the Garnet Trust Hour.
Garnet Trust Hour
on your home of the Gamecocks,
107.5 The Game.
All right, back in on the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game. Thanks for rolling along with us today. Chris Clark here in studio with you with Wes Mitchell and Gamecock Baseball's Ethan Petry.
Ethan, so we were talking about, you know, growing up in Tampa. How'd you end up at South Carolina? I know everybody kind of has their story. What was the recruiting process like for you? I know highly ranked and perfect game I saw. So what was that process like for you to end up here?
So I actually I have a pretty cool story. I mean, I was committed to USF.
Mm-hmm.
Early my sophomore year, you know, it was, I wanted to stay home, you know, my parents loved it. My dad went there and I had a really good, like opportunity to play there. And my career went on, I feel like I need to play in the SEC, you know, like I need that. And then I talked to my head coaches, my summer team and I ended up, like I ended up opening my recruitment, and right away I got a call from Monty from Clemson. And so he was recruiting me. And then after that, like, I had a call with Kingston and a couple other schools. And, you know, he didn't make the decision tough. You know, like, he was just welcoming, you know, like, he knew how to recruit. Like, he was, like, a great guy. I see how kids develop there. And I was like, I want to be there, you know? So like all the decisions besides that were like easy, you know, like I was like, I want to go here. No matter what anybody else offered me, I want to go there. You know, like it was great. And, you know, it was tough because to open up your recruitment, you gotta take a risk, you know, like take a risk on yourself. And, you know, it's frowned upon, but you know, like sometimes it's not the right fit, you know? And, I'm glad I did it. And it was just great. You know, I love this place. I mean,
yeah, it seems like baseball recruiting is a little bit different than, like, football recruiting. Like, we cover football recruiting. It's like a guy commits, doesn't really mean anything. The coaches are still – other coaches are, like, recruiting the heck out of them. They're taking visits and stuff like that. Baseball, it seems like there's, like, kind of unwritten rules there where if you're committed, everybody kind of keeps their distance, and then you have to – if you're going to look at other schools – you have to literally like open it up and say, hey, I'm uncommitted now. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's how it works. I mean, you watch football players, they're like hashtag 100% committed. And then 3 days later, they're committed to someone else.
Yeah, definitely, man. How did the process work for you as far as like the camps and the rankings and all that stuff? Did you go to a bunch of the different showcases and stuff like that growing up?
I did not. I'm fortunate enough to have summer coaches that I had and like during the summer, and they knew, they had a lot of connections and they helped me out a lot. You know, I kind of just performed in the summer. Like, I didn't go to camps. I didn't go to showcases, you know, like that wasn't my thing. And I ended up
worked out.
Yeah. Ended up coming here. So
when Monty got here, did he say something to you about turning him down when he called you at Clemson?
He never said anything about it, but he just said he recruited me. That's it.
All right. So you were telling us earlier, we'll get back to baseball, but you're a broadcast, or what are you, broadcast journalism major, or what's your major?
Mass communications
major. Yep. And you've got a minor
in sports media.
Yeah. So what do you want to do after baseball?
I kind of want to be something like this, you know. I want to talk about sports, you know, argue about sports sometimes, you know, and,
oh, there you go.
And, you know, kind of just take my career wherever it takes, and I love talking about sports. You know, I can talk about sports all day and, you know, relate sports to anything, you know, like also talk about kids about like Star Wars, and, you know, like what's their favorite movie and all that stuff. You know, I enjoy that stuff.
So do you like arguing with your buddies or your teammates about sports? Like, give us a good hot take. You have some hot takes on sports that get you in arguments with people?
I honestly don't. You know, it kind of comes up on the fly when I'm like, we're talking about stuff, and then all of a sudden I'm like,
"All right, well,
it's not that good."
What can we put him on the spot on for a sports take?
I don't know, but what's your other than baseball? Do you follow other sports close? What's your second favorite sport?
Probably football.
Okay, all right, so we can work off of that. Did you have any Gamecock football takes from any opinions? No,
I just started watching them this year, so.
Okay, so did you go to a bunch of the games?
I went to every single one.
Student section?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did all right, Tennessee game, Carolina wins. Did you bust out there on? Did you sprint out there on the field? What was that like?
That was awesome. I mean, it was like experience. I still have it on my phone on video. It was awesome. Like I experience, I'll never forget.
Do what do you think of Shane Beamer and what he's kind of doing?
He actually came in the other day to talk to us. It was awesome. It was like seeing like a celebrity, like when I was like five, you know, yeah. Like I was like, this guy's awesome, dude. And he came and talked to us and hyped us up for the Clemson series. And then like he came out and threw the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. You know, like I can just see the way he coaches the team and he's a great dude. He's turned it around for them for sure.
What was his message to y'all other than just like beat the crap out of Clemson? What was he saying to you?
He was kind of just stay calm. Mm-hmm. You know, like you know, going in there, you're the better team. So, like, he said that to his football kids as well. And it just kind of just like was just like basically around that. And he was just hyping us up, you know, like, you're better than them, all that stuff. And then it says, go beat their butts, you know.
We got to spend some time on that series because that was a big one. That's mm-hmm. a really important one. Well, first of all, when did you kind of grasp how big that rivalry was? Because a lot of people who aren't even Clemson or South Carolina fans think it's one of the best, if not the best, baseball rivalries in the country.
When I stepped foot on the field for the first time at first base,
yep,
I look up and it's just all orange. And I'm like, okay. And then the first pitch of the game, they hit a home run and that place erupted. And I'm like, this is going to be hard. This is going to be a tough series. And then we kind of just stuck to it. You know, we had a tough loss Friday and we were just getting beat down by the fans, you know, like emotionally draining us. And then all of a sudden, like we go back to Fluor Field and our fans showed out. And like, it was just like all ours after that. And then obviously Sunday was just full house and we just dominated the whole game.
So on Saturday in Greenville, when you looked out Friday, you saw all orange up at Doug Kingsmore. What did you think of the crowd split on Saturday?
I thought it was really cool. You know, it was kind of like, they had our backs and then their fans had their backs. Yeah. You know, like they would get a hit, their fans would erupt.
Yeah.
We would get a hit and their fans would erupt. It was like awesome. Like it was just like a back and forth kind of thing.
On that Friday, you know, you mentioned how it was emotionally draining. Did y'all walk out of that game just saying, man, we just did not play very well?
I mean, no, we walked out of there like they snuck away with one. You know, like, and that's why they celebrated so much on the field, like, you know, like talking all that crap to us and you know, like kind of just, you know, it was like we were just like, we're hungry, you know. Yeah. We're hungry again, you know. You can't win every game in baseball. You can't go 56-0, you know.
Yeah,
it's like almost impossible, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so we were just like hungry and we're like, all right, back to Greenville at 7:45 in the morning.
Yeah
how, I mean, I think you got to look at that Saturday game. I know it's gonna be a long season, but I feel like that's an early like momentum builder because y'all lost Friday and then you're kind of, you know, you're struggling through the game Saturday a little bit. You're looking for that big knock and then y'all get it. And it's funny in baseball how an entire series can just turn. And it was like once it did, y'all played well the rest of the game Saturday and then y'all carried it over into Sunday. And it's like you look at that series and for the first maybe 10, 11, 12 innings, you know, it's everything's going Clemson's way. So yeah. What was that like? Could y'all feel it in the dugout when it kind of switched on Saturday and everything kind of went your way from there?
Yeah, well, Saturday we were just getting really unlucky, mm-hmm. you know, and I was actually talking to Jack Mahoney. I was like, all we need is momentum, you know, mm-hmm. like that team is so momentum driven over there. If we kill that momentum, then we're up from there. Mm-hmm. Like, and all of a sudden, you know, we smack around some hits, you know, like, and then I remember Hornung gets up and he's like 1-2 count and he smashes a ball. And I was like, that was it. Mm-hmm. Like that, after that, everything switched on and there's no looking back from there. And all of a sudden, like these recent games we've been lighting it up, you know.
And then Sunday was like batting practice almost at times for that stretch.
Yeah,
I mean, there were what, four or five balls that almost went out that didn't.
Yeah, a lot of balls were dead. Hit hard.
Square.
The wind was kind of pushing it back in, but there was no wind. I mean, that game could have got really out of hand.
Yeah, we were saying there's probably 15 runs scored in that game if if the wind, if the wind's blowing out a little bit.
Just a little bit. If even if there's no wind, those I think those balls get out. Like those balls are crushed.
Yeah.
We're going to take one more break, come back on the other side, one more segment with Gamecock Baseball's Ethan Petrie. You're listening to the Garnet Trust Hour on 107.5 The Game.
It's the Garnet Trust Hour on your home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
All right, back in studio here on 107.5 The Game, it's the Garnet Trust Hour. Chris Clark and Wes Mitchell joined with our special guest, Ethan Petrie from Gamecock Baseball. One more segment with Ethan. We've been talking about the season so far and his first year here in Columbia. Appreciate you joining us, Ethan. So like I said, one more segment here. I want to go back to high school one more time and ask you about something. So you're 6'4", 230-ish. Is that about right?
Yeah.
225, 230.
Yep.
So one thing I noticed, Wes, I was also looking at Ethan's perfect game profile. We like going back and looking at data from things. You got some speed.
I worked on speed a lot my junior year. I don't know why, but I just kind of did it. And I kind of became faster, you know, like I wanted to be more of an athlete at third. And, you know, I kind of lost some speed this year because I kind of gained some more weight. You know, I've been lifting as a hitter instead of a pitcher, so I'm not as flexible and as explosive. Well, I think I'm as explosive, but like, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's just, I don't know if I'm as quick as I was in that because I was a little bit lighter in that. But, you know, I think I can move a little bit.
32 steals as a senior? I think I
really?
Said.
Yeah. I had pretty good reads on the pitchers, you know. Like, I didn't get thrown out once, I don't think. And, you know, I had the green light every time. And
then you took it.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to ask. So they're just like, if you see it, you can go.
Yes, sir.
And Wes, here's another one. Okay, so your 60 time was good, too. His split, 10-yard split, 1.63. That's really good. That's like NFL Combine.
Yeah, well, one of my trainers back home, he worked on me with my split time. Like, make sure I get off the line quick.
Right.
And that's probably why I ran a 6.7, because I'm not super fast, but I knew how to start. You know, I think that's why I was able to steal a lot of bases, because I knew how to start.
You got good jumps. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually met with a speed guy, I guess that was a couple weeks ago, and he was telling us how important, whether it's 60, 40, whatever, that 10-yard split is incredibly important to even to what your final time is going to be.
Yep.
And just knowing how to start, knowing how to get going is huge with that. So so that's cool, man. And I guess moving forward, I guess base running or stealing base is probably not going to be a huge part of your game in South Carolina?
Not so much. You know, I get the good dirt ball reads and everything, but, you know, no need to risk getting out.
No green lights anymore?
No green lights anymore. If Kingston gives me the steal sign, I'll take it, but, you know, but we got Wimmer for that.
There you go. How much better are the pitchers at this level than what you saw in high school? I know the answer is a lot better, but, like, try to give us a sense.
Florida high school baseball is pretty stacked. You know, I faced a couple guys that are 95, you know, like they're solid. But, I mean, some of these pitchers know how to pitch. Mm-hmm. Like that Penn series, they had arms after arms after arms just throwing at us. And I was like, okay, this is what's going to be like from now on, you know, like, and it's a tough adjustment. But, you know, like you just got to stay the course. You know, the more reps you get, the better you'll get.
SEC arms coming soon.
Yep.
How, you even said it when you picked Carolina, playing in the SEC.
Yep.
A big part of that. How excited are you to, as an athlete, as a competitor, to test yourself and kind of face some arms that, you know, a Friday SEC guy is probably going to be playing some type of professional baseball. How excited is that? Are you for that?
I'm really excited. You know, as a young athlete, you know, I gotta be more competitive than him. You know, like I got to want it more than him, and you know, because that could mean I'm on top. You know, like I'll end up on top if I just want it more than him, and I'm really excited for that because, you know, I want to test myself. You know, and that test is a really tough test. You know, and I've been studying all my life, so I'm ready to test myself.
Do you think that Friday Clemson game gets y'all a little bit just a little glimpse of what the atmosphere is going to be like when you take these road SEC tests?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think it will be as bad because of what happened with the transfers and all that. But we're going to hear a lot of stuff, and then we're going to hear a lot of energy in the stadium, and we had to just tone it out and just breathe.
What was another celebration question? All right, so Dylan Brewer, who came over from Clemson, was that just like a pointing to the logo when he hit that double that day?
I'm not sure.
Do we even know?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know what that one was.
Yeah, that was that. I don't know what he does. McGillis does that too. It's like a thing like that. I don't know. They're opening up like a box or something. I don't know.
Okay.
What is the chef's kiss? Where does that come from originally?
You got to ask Gavin that because he does it every time. I think it's so funny. It just makes me laugh every time.
I think it's like the chef kiss emoji, or the little this thing emoji, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he's saying it's like perfection. I just hit a bomb.
Yeah.
Nah. You got to get a signature move if you thought about.
I have my roommate Austin, me and him go up and like pat elbows.
Okay. There you go. What's your walk up song?
Check Yourself by Ice Cube.
Okay. That's a good one.
How'd we close in on that one?
My dad's a huge NWA fan, and my freshman year of high school, I had it. So freshman year of high school, freshman year of college, yeah. You know, the same walk-up song.
Last couple minutes here with you, Ethan. Let's go back. One thing I wanted to make sure we hit on is you obviously had an opportunity to go pro right out of high school if you would have wanted to go that route. So what was that process like, and how did you make that decision?
You know, it was pretty an easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's nothing better than playing a college baseball. You know, like having an education, knowing that you could, if baseball ends, you have something that you can work for. You know, like you can get money. You know, like you go professional, you got to go back to college. And I don't want to do that when I'm like 28, 29 years old, you know. Right. And so it was pretty easy decision. You know, I had my mom and dad talk to about it, but you know, I had to go through all this scouting stuff, and you know, it wasn't a waste of time because now they know me. But you know, like it was a great opportunity to see all of these players and how like hard they work too, and how they're on like the same level as me. But I just thought I was too young to be in that situation. You know, go out there as a young 18-year-old kid and just play in front of like nobody, and instead of playing here in the SEC baseball and just crowds erupting when you hit, even if you get hit.
Right.
Well, and I think people sometimes forget too, it's not like the NFL where you get drafted and you're an NFL player.
Yeah.
You're riding a bus to a small town. You know, it's a grind to be a minor league baseball player.
Yep.
Whereas you're kind of, I feel like college, yeah, you're bettering yourself as an athlete, but there's a lot more, I would imagine, just off the field. Like, you're growing as a person, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, you have to be really gritty to go out of high school. You know, you got to want it so bad. And, I mean, I wanted it, obviously, but, I mean, it was just like, I'm 18. You know, like, I need to experience more of baseball. You know, I got to learn the game more. I even still have to learn the game more today. You know, like, there's always something I got to improve on, you know, and I want to be a 21-year-old going into minor league ball instead of an 18-year-old.
Yeah, good thoughts there. So, Ethan, it's been really fun, man. Appreciate you joining us here on the Garnet Trust Hour on 107.5 The Game. Best of luck to you and your team the rest of the season. That'll do it for us today. Up next is the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour here on 107.5 The Game.
Thanks again to Ethan Petrie for joining us for the Garnet Trust Hour. Real quick, want to let you know about the easiest bracket contest ever. It's the 107.5 The Game Pick Your Team contest. Just come into Twin Peaks in the Vista on Thursday between 12 and 1 o'clock. Reach into a jar full of teams and pick out one that is your team throughout the entire tournament, and then stick around and watch some hoops. The first 64 people to show up and grab a team are entered. The grand prize is USC baseball season tickets for the rest of the season. Also going to have some prizes from Columbia Craft Brewing, Little Pigs, the Gutterman Champion Defense, and so much more. It's the easiest bracket contest ever, the 107.5 The Game Pick Your Team contest. From your home of the Gamecocks and free stuff, 107.5 The Game.